I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize how much I need the Lord. Seems like when we're young, we think that we can do it all. We think we got it. As we get older, we realize that we can do nothing apart from Christ. And we need Christ. If you have your Bible, let's go ahead and turn to back to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to be looking at how Jesus offers a better rest. A better rest. I think most of us here would agree that there's much unrest in the world. I mean, just this past week, it's pretty evident when Russia invaded the Ukraine. It created a lot of unrest, not just in that region of the world, but worldwide. There's been unrest. Stock markets fell, and then I heard they rose up again. And I mean, just the instability that we have across the world. And I just want to say this unrest, it's not just because of this war last week. This unrest is... it's been around since the fall of man into sin. It's been around a long time. For those that do not know Christ, we can understand why there's unrest in their hearts. We can understand why those who do not believe Christ as Lord and Savior do not have rest. But what about when believers have unrest? You know, if we look at this passage and the background of this passage, these Hebrew Christians in the first century, they were going through some tremendous persecution. They were going through some fires. Their faith was being tested. I really can't say that mine's been tested like that. It's been tested, but not like these people in the first century. I know there are some that around the world today that are being tested in this way. I think about those that are in the Ukraine, believers that are there in the Ukraine, that their faith's being tested to trust in the Lord in the midst of this war. You know, these Hebrew Christians here in the first century, some of them were tempted to doubt Christ. Some were being tempted to walk away from Christ. They had unrest in their souls. And Paul, writing this letter to these Hebrew Christians, he was exhorting them. He was trying to encourage them by showing them that Jesus is so much better. I mean, why go back to something less than what you have? And he spent a lot of time up to this point showing how Jesus, he's so much better than the prophets. He's so much better than the angels. And Jesus is so much better than Moses. You know, they loved and adored Moses. He was one of the great prophets of Israel, one of the great leaders of the nation of Israel, and he shows how that Jesus is so much better. He's so much better. And here in chapter 4, as we come to this chapter, he's continuing this word of exhortation that starts back in chapter 3, verse 7, where he was warning us today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's what we were looking at last Sunday. And the emphasis on the urgency of this warning, the urgency of this invitation to hear his voice. And it's today. The Holy Ghost saith, that's present tense, today, if you will hear his voice. He's not speaking about tomorrow. Yesterday's gone. But he's saying today, right now, if you will hear his voice. Now when we come to chapter 4, he's going to be motivating us with this truth of entering into his rest. And the invitation, again, for entering into his rest is today. I can't promise you that you will live tomorrow. God doesn't promise you tomorrow. You know, the Bible warns us that boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. We can't say, well, maybe tomorrow will be more convenient for me. But no, today God is speaking to us. You know, as we think about trials, these Christians were going through some trials. Some of us are going through trials. Some of us are going through some hard times in our lives. And I want to say that trials can either melt our hearts or harden our hearts. I'm sure you've heard this saying, and I don't know who came up with this originally, but the same sun that melts the wax harden the clay. What is the voice of God to you today? As the Son of God speaks, as the sun shines down upon us, the Son of God speaks to us today in his grace and his mercy, as he speaks through his word to us today about his rest that is so much better than any other rest that's being offered today. What is our heart response to this invitation? Is it we're going to harden our heart, or is it going to melt our heart? So the theme here in this chapter is rest. He's going to expound how Jesus offers us a rest so much better than Moses. You know, Moses gave the law, and in the law, you know that one of the fourth commandment is to keep the Sabbath day holy. Do you know what the word Sabbath means? Rest. Rest. And in fact, I believe it's verse 10 in Hebrews 4 that he uses a different Greek word than the other words that are translated rest, and he uses sabbatismos, which it's related to the Sabbath rest is what it means. And we'll talk about that a little bit later in the message. But so Sabbath means rest, and Moses gave them the law, and they were to rest on the seventh day, just like God rested on the seventh day after he created all things in 6 days. And really, if we went back to chapter 1 in Hebrews, we would see that, you know, I mentioned God created all things in 6 days. But actually, when you look here in chapter 1, verse 2, when it's speaking of Christ, the last phrase in this verse, by whom also he made the worlds. God made the worlds by whom? Jesus. Jesus is the creator. He's the one that made all things. There was nothing that was made that was not made by him. John 1 tells us that in the Gospel of John. So I want you to think about, he's showing that the rest that Jesus offers is so much better. But there's a warning. This verse starts out with a warning, because there's so many that have not entered in yet to this rest. There's many that have not entered into this rest. And I believe in this chapter he seeks to motivate us not to harden our hearts to his voice, but to show us, by showing us Jesus is so much better in the rest that he offers us, that we would be motivated to come to him, to find rest in him. I want you to look at a couple of verses as we get started, and we're going to pray. I'm not going to read all this passage again. We've already read it once. But I want to just point out a couple of verses before we pray to show the urgency of this passage. The urgency of this invitation to enter into His rest. Verse 1, let's look at it again. He said, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." It's urgent. It needs our attention. He said we need to fear. And this is not fear in the sense of a cowardly type fear. This is a fear that it speaks of treating this invitation with deference. You know what deference is? Submission. It speaks of a reverential obedience. In other words, he's been, since verse 7 in chapter 3, he's been given this word of exhortation, this invitation to us, this warning to us. And he's telling us here, we need to treat that warning with fear, with deference, with submission, with obedience. We need to hear it and obey it because, he says, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You don't want to miss His rest. You don't want to miss His rest today. I hope you can sense the urgency of Paul as he's writing this letter. He's trying to motivate us to action. He's trying to motivate us to do something with this exhortation. It's not just to fill our minds and instruct us, but it's to move our hearts to do something. He wants us to act upon it, to come to Christ and to rest in Him and find His rest in our souls. In verse 11, we see another urgency verse in this section we read. It begins with the same words as verse 1. Let us. Notice what he says. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And he's referring back to the children of Israel that they came right up to the land of promise. Remember, they were redeemed out of Egypt, out of bondage, by the Passover lamb, by the blood. They came out and they were right up there at the border of the land, or the promised land. God promised it, but they did not believe. So they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they died over that 40-year period, wandering in the wilderness in unbelief, in unrest, if you would. And so he's telling us, let us labor. In other words, let us be diligent to enter into that rest. Let's take heed to this word of exhortation that he's given. And it's today, because verse 7 is another verse I want to point out. We're going to pray. Again, he limited a certain day. Did you know our time is limited? Not just for me to preach this morning, because we have a baptism service coming up. I mean, we've got to go home and eat lunch, and our time is limited here. I've got to hurry up and preach. But listen, your time's limited to act for God. Your time's limited to come to Him. Your time's limited to enter into His rest. And that's why he says, today, after so long a time, as it is said, notice he says again, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Today. Right now. As we just sang a moment ago. Lord, I need Thee. I know I'm deficient. God, help all of us here today recognize our deficiency. But we need You. The only way we can have rest in our souls is to come to Jesus. That He provides the better rest There's so many people seeking so many things in this life to give them rest. They come up empty. Or it's heartbreaking to me how many people are at unrest all around us, all across our world. There's so much unrest, even in our churches, even among believers. There's unrest. It's heartbreaking because Jesus, He is a bed of rest. We're invited, we're urged here to come to Him and enter into His rest. Lord, with so many words, You urgently invite us and implore us to come and enter into Your rest. But yet, so many people do not heed Your voice, including some of Your own people that You've redeemed with the blood of Jesus. We don't heed. We don't listen. We harden our hearts. And we continue in unrest like the children of Israel, wandering in a wilderness with hard hearts, with no rest, not enjoying our promised inheritance in Christ, that abundant life in Christ, because of our unbelief, our hard hearts. God, please help us today to hear Your voice and not harden our hearts. Help us today to enter into the rest that Jesus gives. And I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I want to just say that I really have to admit that even as a pastor studying the Word of God for many years and reading this passage a lot and meditating on it, it's not an easy passage to follow. These verses we read, it can be hard to follow the thought. It can be confusing. He's talking about all these different kinds of rest, and it's hard. What is he talking about? And you know, it's not easy, and I get that. But without getting into too many details today in this passage, I want to get to the heart of the passage right away. I want to get right to the heart of the passage. The heart of this whole passage is that God invites us to enter His rest today by faith in His Word. You can't enter without faith. He says in verse 2 that for unto us the gospel was the gospel preached as well as unto them. He's talking about those in the Old Testament. But the word preached did not profit them. Notice this. Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There has to be faith in the Word of God. We have to exercise faith. Faith is an action word. It's an action word. And a faith in the Word of God, listen, it's effectual, and it changes your life. It's not some just mental, intellectual concept. It's not just intellectual belief. You know, you can believe the Word of God, but do you have faith in it? Faith to rest your life upon it. Would you die on this hill right here, the Word of God? Would you die on the Word of God, the promises of God? Would you give your life for Christ? Do you have that kind of faith? Or is it just, well, I believe it's the Word of God, but I'm not sure that I can trust all of it. If we're going to enter His rest today, we have to have faith in His Word. We have to believe His Word. We have to trust Him with all of our hearts. And His action, it means we're coming to Him and we're resting in Him, actively resting. We're not no longer anxious and worried about all these things in our life, but we're actively resting on Him and we're acting in faith, doing what He wants us to do. We're obeying His promise. Just like the children of Israel, they came to the promised land. They could have said, oh, I believe we can take the land, but if they never went into the land, were they obedient? Were they really exercising faith? No. True faith was saying, yes, let's go and take off. You know, faith without works, James tells us in James 2, it's dead. It's dead. You know, a lot of Christians today don't have faith in Jesus. So I believe Jesus, I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, but really, have you trusted Him? Is He really in your heart? Do you know that you're born again? Have you got rest in your soul because of that? See, a lot of Christians are people that profess to be Christians. They haven't really put their faith in Christ. They've just made an empty profession of faith. So God is inviting us today. And I want to just say this rest that He's talking about, it's used 11 times from chapter 3, verse 7 through chapter 4, verse 13. 11 times you'll find the word rest. It's repeatedly used. That is the theme of this passage. And in the biblical sense, rest is more than taking a nap. It's more than going on vacation. What is the rest in the biblical sense? It's experiencing and enjoying the very rest that God Himself enjoys. Just stop and just think about that. The rest that God is inviting you to come to and enter into is the very rest that He is now presently enjoying. And let me show you, if you would, look in a few verses. Look in chapter 3, verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into. Notice how He describes the rest. My rest. Who is speaking here? God is speaking here through David. This is a quotation from Psalm 95. Yes, but the Holy Ghost, as He says in verse 7, saith. It's the Holy Ghost speaking these words. God Himself speaking this word, that they shall not enter into my rest. He describes the rest as my rest. And then when you come to verse 18, He says His rest. And then chapter 4, verse 1, His rest. Chapter 4, verse 3, my rest. Chapter 4, verse 5, my rest. And then chapter 4, verse 10, His rest. The rest He's talking about here is God's rest. God's rest. It's not rest in the sense of you're resting from the week you had last week, so you came to church, but you're going to go home and take a nap today and rest. That's not the rest He's talking about here. He's talking about the rest that God Himself enjoys. It speaks metaphorically of the heavenly blessedness in which God dwells. He's inviting us into that, to enjoy that blessedness of just rest with Him. It kind of reminds me of what Jesus told His disciples before He went back to heaven. In John 14, verse 27, this is what He said. He said, peace I leave with you. And then notice this. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace. Jesus said, my peace I'm giving to you. That's what He's talking about here. My rest. I want you to have my rest. I want you to enter into my rest. I want you to have my rest, my peace. You know, I was just thinking about this morning in our prayer meeting, the analogy between the physical rest and spiritual rest. Of course, we're talking here spiritual rest, but there's an analogy. And if you did not rest well last night, you're probably not feeling well right now. You may be a little bit irritable, especially if you didn't have your cup of coffee. Well, some of you don't drink coffee. But anyhow, you know, when I don't get rest, my body doesn't like it. It's not able to recharge. It's not able to restore. It's usually when I don't get rest, I get a headache, and I'm not fun to live with. Ask my wife. So you have to have rest, physical rest, and just to restore your body. And so what? You can do what you need to do. Well, think about the spiritual side. We need spiritual rest. If you don't have spiritual rest spiritually, you don't get restored. You don't get restored. You don't get renewed with strength from on high. Rest is important. I think all of us would agree. We all agree. I need some sleep. Some of you are thinking, I need it right now, and you're trying to sleep in church. Let me encourage you to wait till this afternoon, because this is urgent message. But we need rest. Rest is important, but far more spiritual rest is important. As I said, I want to just kind of break it down simply. I don't want to get you confused, and so I'm going to make it very, very simple for you. There are three different kinds of rest he speaks of in this passage. And I'm going to go through these pretty quickly. Three different kinds of rest. The first is the rest of creation. We find this in verse 4. The rest of creation. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. This is a reference to creation. Remember, God created all things in 6 days. Jesus created all things in 6 days. On the seventh day, it says he rested. He rested. This is a reference to creation rest. And this rest God has offered since then. By the way, this rest has been available since creation. This is speaking of God's Sabbath rest given to his chosen people. But in type or in shadow, this Sabbath rest, this creation rest, in type, it points to Jesus. It points to Jesus who finished the work of new creation when he went to the cross. Now stop, think about that for just a minute. Points to the finished work of Christ on the cross to make possible the new creation of all things. To make possible the rest that we can find in him. You know, it's interesting observation, but God worked for 6 days, then rested. Israel would work for 6 days, and on the seventh day, Saturday, they would rest. But Jesus came, and he did all the work on the cross. He purchased our redemption on the cross. And we have rest. And so now, ever since Christ died on the cross, we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week. Instead of working 6 days and resting, we work from rest. We rest in Christ. Salvation is not our works. It's in Christ alone, in his work. And we rest in him, and our works follow that rest. It follows that salvation. Isn't that interesting to think about? But we see the creation rest that he speaks of in verse 4. You know, Jesus, he's in this whole passage, he's going to point everything to Christ. In the whole book of Hebrews, he's going to point all those shadows and types of the Old Testament to Christ. Christ is our peace, Paul said in Ephesians 2:14. He is our rest. You know, I like what Jesus said in Matthew 12:8. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. He is our rest. He is our Sabbath. Jesus, we find rest in him. And it's not just one day of the week, by the way. Every day, he wants us to rest in him and enter his rest. Every day. You know, it's not just Sunday that we should have rest in our souls. When we go to work on Monday and there's unrest at work, or we go to school on Monday and there's unrest at school, or we go home and there's unrest in our home, God is inviting us into his rest. You know, it's interesting to watch, you know, I read some of the stories of the martyrs of the faith, and one of my favorite movies is called The Printing. It's a story about these Russian believers back during the Iron Curtain days, way back then, and communism, and how these believers, they worked underground to print the Bible. And it was meticulous, slow work because they had to be very careful, or the authorities, the KGB, would come in and take all of their equipment and arrest them and put them in prison. Then they would destroy all the scriptures that they were printing. And so what they'd have to do, they'd have to take piece by piece of the printing equipment. And over a long process of time, they would have, like, plumbers would visit this house, that they would set up these people. They would say, we want to use our house to print Bibles. We take that risk. We know that we could go to prison if we're caught. And so they'll have plumbers come, or they'll have different people come and bringing baskets of fruit. But under all of that, or under the tools in the toolbox, would be printing equipment. And little by little by little by little by little, they would get it all in this one location. And they would have a printer come in there, and he would assemble all of this printing equipment. And then they would have to get paper there, and they would start working on printing the scriptures. But I love this movie, The Printing, because when this printer was arrested, he was a believer, just to see the joy in his face. I mean, he was just the rest that was in his soul. I mean, he was getting torn away from his family. He was going to be taken into prison, and it wasn't going to be easy at all. There was going to be torture. They was going to do all they could to break this man, but just to see his joy and his rest. That's what I'm talking about. This rest that Christ gives us. The whole world can be crumbling around us, and there's just such rest and joy. There's such peace in our hearts. We can have that every day. Christ wants us to have it every day. But the second kind of rest we see in this passage is the rest of Canaan. The rest of Canaan, or the promised land, he references that. And back in chapter 3, we looked at verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. He's talking about Canaan rest, where God had a promised land for the children of Israel, a place of rest. They were in bondage, hard bondage, for over 400 years. I believe it's 490 years. They were in bondage, cruel, hard bondage. They were redeemed out of that. And God promised them this inheritance. In fact, that inheritance goes back to Abraham. He promised that land to Abraham. He gave the Abrahamic covenant to Abraham. Because why? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He had faith in God. He believed God, and God gave him this promise. I'm going to give you all this land. But you know what? It's more than just not estate, but it's more than just about just property. Acreage is the word I was looking for. It's more than acreage that this promise involves. Yes, it does involve that. But it's more than that. It involved salvation promises. He told Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And through your seed, I'm going to bless the whole world. The seed he's talking about is Christ. Christ, the Savior, would come through Abraham's seed. He would come through Abraham, and through this promise that he gave to Abraham, listen, he's going to give Christ, and Christ is going to bring blessing upon the whole world. He's going to bring rest. And so this promised land, it was more than just acreage. It was more than just land. It was about salvation in Christ. Israel, we know, we looked at last week, they failed to enter because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 2 tells us again, "For unto us were the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I want to just say that I think you understand that when they were in Egypt, in bondage, is a picture of a lost sinner in the world without Christ, in bondage to sin. The Passover lamb, the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. Christ is our Passover, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7. They were redeemed out of that bondage through the Passover lamb. They had faith in God. They acted in faith. And you see the action. They didn't just say, "Okay, God, we believe you," but not kill a lamb and not sprinkle the blood. No, they acted. Their faith worked. Their faith worked. They had faith and believed God, and they obeyed God, and they put the blood on the doorpost. God delivered them out of that bondage, and they go out into the wilderness, and there they receive the law, and then God leads them to the promise, the edge of the promised land, and God's will was not for them to stay in Egypt, nor was it to stay in the wilderness. He wanted them to enter the promised land. But because they didn't exercise faith, they didn't enter into the rest of Canaan. And we've said this, and I know Brother Justin said it when he preached a few weeks ago, and I said it last week, and I say it again, that Canaan rest, or Canaan, the promised land, is not a picture of heaven. It's not a picture of heaven at all. Maybe in an ultimate sense, but in an immediate application, it's not. It's what it represents is our spiritual inheritance in Christ as believers. We're redeemed just like they were redeemed by the blood of the Passover lamb. We're redeemed by salvation in Christ. And then by faith, we have to walk with Christ and believe Christ and walk by faith and abide in Christ. And as we do, we enter His rest. We enter the rest, Canaan's rest, if you would. We enter into the rest of fellowship with Jesus. We enter into the rest of abundant life in Jesus. The abiding life in Jesus. Let me just put it this way. When we come to Christ by faith, we find salvation rest. Turn to Matthew 11:28 real quick. We've quoted this verse over and over last week, and Connect class, the adult Connect class, is studying this. But I want you to turn there in your Bible, just because sometimes you need to look at it again in your Bible. Jesus is speaking here in chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Heavy laden means that there's unrest. There's burdens. There's heavy, heavy, heavy burdens on the back. Ye that labor, you've toiled to exhaustion. You're weary. If that's you, if you don't have rest in your soul, Jesus is inviting you to come. He said, "Come unto me. And I will give you rest." He personally will give you rest. So when we first come to Christ by faith, there's salvation rest. But I want you to notice in the next verse, verse 29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we yield our lives to Christ and learn of Him and obey Him by faith, we enjoy submission rest. You see, there's salvation rest, there's submission rest. They're two different things. The first one is peace with God. When we come to Christ, we have peace with God. We're no longer an enemy of God. We're no longer separated from God, on our way to hell, condemned as a sinner, lost. But we are now children of God. We have peace with God because of the blood of the cross. That's salvation rest. But as we learn to walk with Christ, as we learn to take our burdens to Him, our requests to Him, like Philippians 4 tells us to do. Be careful for nothing. Careful means full of care, anxious. Don't be at unrest. But by everything, prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, there's a difference, peace with God and peace of God. You have to first have the peace with God. And then as you walk with Christ, you learn to trust Him and you learn to depend on Him daily. You learn to go to Him daily. You learn to walk with Him and pray and cast your burden on the Lord. That's when you get the peace of God, the rest. So we have the rest of creation in Hebrews 4, the rest of Canaan, but then there's the rest of Christ. The rest of Christ. I want you to look in verse 7. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and I want to just qualify something here in verse 8, Joshua in the Old Testament is Jesus in the Greek. I mean, it's the same name. Joshua, Jesus, it's the same name. And the context really is clear that in verse 8, he's not talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Joshua. Because read it. For if Jesus, Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward had spoken of another day. So Joshua led them into Canaan rest, but there's another rest besides just the rest of Canaan. And so he says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 9. For he that is entered into his rest, he had also ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now let's just stop and kind of break this down. I want to just say about the rest of Christ that the rest that he talks about that Christ gives is it's only possible because of what he did for us on the cross. It's only possible because of his finished work on the cross. And we come to Christ by faith, believing the Word of God, believing what it says about Christ, and we trust him and we act in faith, we have rest. Now, in this rest of Christ, there are three aspects, and I don't want to confuse you. I'm trying to make it simple. In the rest that Christ gives us, there are three aspects. And the first one is conscious rest. Our conscience. You know, our conscience is something God has placed within us. It judges right and wrong. Now, our conscience can be it can be off because of sin, because of wrong choices and decisions. Our conscience can be, the scripture talks about it was with a hot iron. Somebody help me. Pardon? Seared. I couldn't get that word. Seared with a hot iron. And, you know, our conscience can be seared. And have you ever got a burn on your hand? And what happens is that there's no feeling. It's the skin and the nerves die there and it becomes hardened. And so what he's talking about, our conscience can become hardened and insensitive to sin. But only a conscience that's in tune with the Word of God works correctly. It's like an alarm system. It's like whenever you do something wrong, that alarm goes off inside, but there's a rest of conscience because we've sinned. That alarm has gone up a lot, hasn't it? Would you agree with me? Your alarm has gone off. That internal alarm has gone off so many times that you're just weighted down with this burden like, I'm guilty. And a lot of times people, because of that guilt of conscience, they won't come to Christ. Because they feel like, well, I've already sinned too much. I've already done too much. How could He ever forgive me? But it's to you that He offers this invitation to come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. The rest in your conscience. I will give you forgiveness. I will forgive all of your sins. I'll give you salvation. You'll have peace with God. So in this rest in Christ, when we come to Christ, we get our rest in our conscience. That's when you got saved, you know what that is. Remember that burden rolled off your back? Remember, you're like, man, there's something different now. I mean, I feel joy. I feel peace. It's hard to explain unless you've been saved. You don't know what I'm talking about, but that's what I'm talking about here, rest of conscience. When we come to Christ, there's that rest. He's inviting us to Himself to experience this rest. And then there's the rest of communion. You know, as we walk by faith and fellowship with Christ daily, hearing His Word humbly, as we talked about last week, taking heed to our hearts. We also talked about that last week. Exhorting one another daily, resting in Christ completely. As we do that daily, we enjoy the rest of His communion. I want you to see this, because a lot of times Christians will look at this passage and they only apply it to lost people. They say, this is talking about lost people that need to get saved. They need the rest of conscience. They need the rest of salvation. But I want to say to you, because I know there's a lot of Christians in this congregation. I know there's a lot of people here that have believed Christ, trusted Christ, you've been baptized, you know Christ. But do you have rest today? I'm not talking about when you got saved. Today, do you have that rest? Is your soul at rest? You can have it. He's inviting you to enter into this rest. And we get it by communion with Christ, by walking with Christ. As He said in chapter 3, listen, hear the Word, His Word. Don't harden your heart. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Who's He talking to? Brethren. Believers, saints, you can get a hard heart. You can harden your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. So we need to exhort one another daily. If we don't practice these things, we're going to have a hard heart. And if we have a hard heart, we're going to have a heart of unrest. Yes, as a believer in Christ, Christ living in us, but we are at unrest. Why do you think a lot of Christians leave church? They leave their body and go out into the world never to come back because they're at unrest. They're out of fellowship with God. You only want to be around God's people and in God's house if you're in fellowship with God. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? If you're walking with God, you want to be with Him. You want to learn more of Him. You want more of His presence. You want to be around His people. You want to serve Him. You want to worship Him. You want to exhort others. But there's so many that's fallen by the wayside because of they don't have the rest of communion in Christ. The peace of God. And Jesus invites you as well. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yield yourself to Him. Submit yourself to Jesus. Enter into His rest, the rest of His presence, the rest of His communion. Enter into that today. The third aspect of this rest in Christ is the rest of the city of God. The rest of the city of God. And you know, as I read this verse 9, there remained therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also had ceased from his own works as God did from his. I think there's a reference here to that rest in the city of God, that eternal rest. You first have to have that conscience rest. You have to have salvation. And then God wants us every day to have this communion rest as we walk with him. But you know what? One day, we just sang about it not long ago. One day, we're going to experience the city of God rest. Rest in the city of God, in the very presence of God. Did you know, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, when it talks about Abraham's faith, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. Something I want to point out, by faith, obeyed. How do we know he had true faith? He obeyed. And it goes on, verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek for a country. You know, Abraham was looking for this city of God that was built by God. Look in Revelation chapter 21, the last book in the Bible, the last two chapters, 21, 22. Look in chapter 21. I saw a new heaven, a new earth, and the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are faithful, true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. You know, that city of God, it sounds like a place of rest to me when I read this. I mean, no more tears, no more heartbreaks. No more sorrow, no more crying, no more death. When you come to chapter 22, he talks about that city of God. And because of time, I'm not going to read a lot of the verses, but verse 3 says, and there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no more, no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of thy holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. But I want you to look at verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecies of this book. You see the urgency? He's coming quickly. He is coming quickly. Do you have his rest today? Have you entered into his rest, the rest of salvation? Do you have rest in your conscience that's been cleansed You can only have it by faith in the Word of God. Exercising faith, coming to Christ, that's an action, coming to Christ and trusting Him for salvation. You may say, yeah, Pastor, I do. I know that I'm saved. But let me ask you this, do you have the rest of communion? Do you have rest right now? Are you walking with Christ? Are you enjoying His rest today in your soul? See, there's a lot of burdens in life. There's a lot of heartaches. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of crying. There's a lot of death. We've seen a lot of death these last few years in our church and in our town, in our country. But we can have His rest in the midst of it all. Do you have that rest today? You know, really, I think we can only truly worship and truly serve Jesus if we've entered into His rest. If you're at unrest, you're not going to want to worship. If you do, it's just because it's duty. Because you, well, I have to. I'm supposed to go to church. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I'm supposed to pray. But there's no joy in it. There's no peace in it. There's no rest in it. You know, God's people can come to church and say, well, you know, I'm not getting nothing out of church. I'm not the best preacher, but I'm just going to say it's not my fault. But I'm preaching what God wants me to preach this morning, and if you don't get it, it's not my fault. I want you to get it, though. I want you to get it. But I'm saying that if you don't get something out of the song service this morning, something's wrong in your soul. You don't have rest. It's not that we need better, this or that. We need a walk with God. Rest that Jesus gives. Do you know today that you're going to be in the city of God one day, enjoying eternal rest with God, with Christ? Are you looking forward to that? You know, it's good for us to look for that city. Abraham did. All the saints, they were looking forward to that. That's what gave them hope. I talked to someone this morning. That's the very thing that gives them hope. To get out of bed. To come to church. To get out of bed another day. Is that hope, that blessed hope, Jesus coming. One day we're going to be in eternal rest with Christ. I want to say to you, this rest is available today. It's available. Today, this invitation is, it's real. Because He says today. He doesn't just give a general sense that, oh, I want you to get rest, and when you get a chance someday, I'd like you to enter my rest. We talked about that last week. No, this is specific. He says today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. The Holy Spirit is calling today. There's urgency today. Today will you hear His voice? The warning here is take heed. Don't come short of it. You know what breaks my heart the most is that people that are at unrest in the world, if they die without Christ, they're going to be at unrest for all eternity. The lake of fire in all eternity. In torment all eternity. It's horrible to think about, but it's as true as heaven is true, that people who do not have Christ and have not entered into His rest, they will suffer eternity away from Christ in the lake of fire. It's right here in the same book of Revelation we just read about the city of God. He also talks about the lake of fire. In chapter 21, for example, verse 8, but This is a contrast. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, when you read the descriptions in the Bible about this place, and even the descriptions Jesus gave, where there's gnashing of teeth, that's not a state of rest. That's a state of unrest, extreme unrest for all eternity. The urgency is today. The Spirit of God is speaking today. I don't know where you are, but He is speaking, and what are you going to answer? Are you going to come to Christ and believe Him? Are you going to be like the children of Israel and walk away in unbelief? It's your choice. Let's stand. So we bow our heads, we're going to pray. Open up this time for invitation for you to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We'll be happy to meet with you, to pray with you, to help you anyway. But this, I cannot stress the importance of this time right now. This is the most important part of our service. The invitation, because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we respond in faith to God. Father, we come to you so grateful for your rest. Oh Lord Jesus, your rest is so much better. There's nothing in this world that can compare. We could go off to the most beautiful place in the mountains, or the most beautiful beach in the world that's secluded and isolated, and have everything there that our soul could want. We would still not enjoy the rest that you offer, which is so much better. We can try to be good people. We can try to be religious, we can try to earn our way to heaven, but we'll never have rest in religion. It's only in Christ. Father, I pray this morning, as your word has gone forth, Lord, as you are speaking today to hearts, I pray they would heed the warning. Harden not your heart. But Lord, that they would melt and come to you, O Lord Jesus, in submission, humble, obedient faith, trusting Jesus for rest, the rest of salvation, the rest of submission, the rest of that eternal rest in heaven. All to be found in Christ, in Christ alone. Lord, please, please, Lord, I pray you continue calling, continue drawing people unto yourself. Lord, we need you. We need you right now to do a work in hearts of those that are just holding back, those that need to come to Christ, those that are saved or at unrest, that need to surrender to you and walk with you. Maybe there's some sins that they need to confess and get right so they can have rest. Oh, please, God, let this be the time that each one of us can leave here with your rest, enjoying, experiencing your rest. I pray